listen to Danny Lakey and turn it up to the ceiling. Everything could go so wrong, but you'll be so happy. It's Danny Lakey, yeah. It's Danny
right across Lakey. Australia, this is the Danny Lakey Show. Yeah. It's Danny
Lakey. Well, with all the furore in the tabloids at the moment about the royals, it would be easy to forget that Queen Elizabeth and Prince Philip are fourth cousins. True story. Talked about when the family tree got a little branchy, when you didn't want to branch out, kept things in-house. Also, more movies that completely change if you tweak the title just slightly. It was Phrase Tuesday, so I was impressed with the phrases that came on. But let's start. My interests have been piqued by this story. This story has piqued my interests, and my interests usually aren't very piqued. If my interests were a person, she'd be quite reserved. She wouldn't wear her heart on her sleeve if my interests were a person. She'd be once bitten, twice shy. And apparently my interests are a female as well, which is very interesting. But less about my interests, hypothetical and hyperbole. This story, stolen playground slide found mounted to child's bedroom. Shocking. You can see why my interests have been piqued. It's not every day you read a story about a stolen piece of playground equipment, let alone mounted to a child's bedroom. During the final month of 2020, a slide from a public playground mysteriously vanished. Local police finally located it in a place that was both shocking and also not that surprising. The slide was found mounted to a bed in a child's bedroom. See, I don't find that shocking, but I do find it quite surprising. So I think that sentence is exactly back to front. A detective was searching the property for missing car parts when they made a discovery. Yeah, usually that's how you uncover a missing child slide in a bedroom, always looking for other car parts, other dodgy dealings. This is Detective Julie Lee. Julie Lee was executing a search warrant at a mobile home looking for stolen catalytic converters. According to the police, Detective Julie Lee walked into the bedroom and saw the slide mounted to a child's bed. She apparently remembered the missing playground slide and contacted Parks and Recs to receive it. Well done, Lee. Well done, Julie, for remembering. I've never been the boys in blue. I've never been part of the force, but I probably, hand on heart, can admit that I wouldn't remember a missing child slide from a cold case 3 months prior. That's just not in my DNA. And that's why Julie Lee's a better detective, a better constable than I am. And it turns out the suspect sawed the slide off, repainted it, and then mounted it on the bunk bed. See, that sentence is a little out of whack. I reckon they mounted the bunk bed to the side of the bed. Otherwise, it just sounds like he made love to the slide for a little bit, whispered in its ears, kissed its neck, whispered sweet nothings, made love under the moonlight. Anyway, the child slide was mounted onto the side of the child's bunk bed, which is kind of cool, although a heinous crime. The suspect was taken into custody for possession of the stolen slide and later told police, the slide is the best part of the playground. That's why I took it. Well, you can't just be taking best bits of things everywhere. That doesn't excuse any of that. But, I mean, as petty as this crime is, it needs to be come down with the full force of the law. But I kind of think it's kind of cool. The only thing I don't agree with is that the slide is the best part of the playground. Now, don't get me wrong, the slide is a big hitter in the playground industry. If you think of a list of child's playground equipment. I'm not sure if the slide goes directly into the all-time legendary status of playground equipment. Maybe it does. Maybe I just wasn't a slider growing up. I love to play on playgrounds, but for me, I don't think the slide's in my top five. And I'd love to hear on 133353, the Playground Equipment Hall of Fame. I mean, what's the best piece of playground equipment? Whether you have fond memories from being a child, or whether you're just a father in this day and age taking your child down on a weekend, go on, why don't you go on that bit? Shall daddy help you? Shall daddy go up there and also do that bit? Because that's quite fun and that brings back memories for me. To be honest, I think I'd say that the merry-go-round probably is much better than the playground equipment slide. I always remember being quite fond of, if I knew that the local reserve had one of those spinny bits of merry-go-round, that was always good fun, although kind of dangerous, although you'd feel sick if you're on the merry-go-round for any more than probably, 8 seconds. It was still quite fun. I remember being a fan of legendary playground equipment like the barrel. That was always a bit of fun, almost like a treadmill for children where you just hold this bar and try run down the barrel. And then it was probably only about 7 or 8 seconds before you scraped your shins to death as well. For me, I think the big one, and I'm not going to pull any punches tonight, I think the big one for me would have to be the noughts and crosses that you could play over on the playground, you'd go up the side and you'd just stop halfway through. You'd tell your friend, excuse me, should we just have a quick game of noughts and crosses for a while? Should we take a break from sliding and running on these little barrels and play a quick game of tic-tac-toe? And usually that was how friendships were built. 133-53, I don't know, maybe I'm out of touch. It has been probably a good 12 years since I've ever stepped foot on a playground. Hashtag single 31-year-old man. The Playground Equipment Hall of Fame. Where does the slide rank and what's yours, Jason, in Port Macquarie? Good evening to you.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good. Masculine man talking to a fellow masculine man. Two masculine men talking about playgrounds, breaking stigmas. What was the
mate, the seesaw, the original seesaw, the old one with the big, big planks.
Yes.
And the handle.
Yeah, I like that you've said the original seesaw. So this was really more just an axis and... If you weren't careful, if you didn't get your legs in position, you would definitely break your coccyx and wind yourself.
Or the best thing is you wait till they go up and then you jump off.
Oh, classic seesaw prank back in the day.
And I'm sad to say that I've been whacked with one and 5 stitches right in the centre of the forehead.
Oh, no, not the centre of the forehead. The follow-on effect.
KO'd me.
Now, I have a feeling that this may be one of the reasons why you see more seesaws in this day and age with more of a spring-based system. Yeah. Very hard to do that these days, to KO and a kid on a seesaw.
And they've got rid of them. The original seesaw's gone.
Yeah, yeah. Like a lot of things, unfortunately. They've destroyed the fun and kids these days.
They have. But
never
when
know
I was a kid growing up, everyone loved the seesaw.
Yeah, I love the seesaw as well. James in Wodonga, you love the seesaw, no doubt. You're a seesaw man through and through.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad.
It wasn't too bad. It's probably my top 5 alongside the childhood slide. But what's your number one?
The old monkey bars.
Not just for monkeys, by the way, for children as well. No, much
right.
Like entry to a jungle gym isn't just for jungle animals. Many children were allowed through the jungle gym. So there was always one kid in school who was great at the monkey bars, and there was always someone who was shit. I was shit due to terrible upper body strength and fat legs. You sound more like the king of the monkey bars.
Oh, it was good, just like jumping in to see what bar you could get to or how good your arm span was to see how many bars you can hit.
Sounds like a bit of a gymnast. And, your lats would be supporting you, no doubt. Your lats, you're a chap with lats.
Oh, this was many years ago now.
Many years ago, my lats have just withered away. Old tissue paper lats these days wouldn't stand a chance on the monkey bars. Yeah, that was fun. Mark, in Sydney, what was the best piece of playground equipment?
The best one was, mate, the round thing is spin around. We've got UFO in the 60 movies. Had 2 suits, your face back to front and bars on the sword.
Oh, yeah.
You spin it around as fast as you could, and then all your mates would get off and spew.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was the best bit, wasn't it? I mean, did you even go on the merry-go-round unless you spewed afterwards?
No, it wasn't a merry-go-round. You used to pull it by yourself, or by your arms. You used to have to run around in a circle.
Yeah, no, sorry, my mistake. Unfortunate there. Yeah, I was still thinking about what you were thinking about. Daniel in Ringwood, hello.
Yeah, hey, Daddy, I think the last guy just kind of stole my thunder, but it's called the Whizzy Dizzy. It's kind of like a cup that you sit in, and there's like a steering wheel in the middle that you spin, and it's pretty much the first actualization that you've got to enjoy being drunk when you're older.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You get off that thing, and you are still spinning.
It gave you the illusion of 7 cruises within 40 minutes. I know the feeling. I remember.
Yeah, if cruises is your thing, I'm probably more of a vodka shot guy.
Oh, yeah, me too, actually. Yeah, I forgot about that. I understand. So this was the one that you'd do yourself, because the great downfall of the merry-go-round or the non-electric merry-go-round, if I can make myself so clear, was that you needed someone else to push you. This one you could almost do by yourself, like a teacup ride.
That is exactly right. Yeah, you're controlling the steering wheel and it's probably you and one other in there, but really, the other person has no other input.
Thank God you said exactly right, because I don't think I could have dealt with 2 no rejections in a row in this photo. Would have came down like a ton of bricks.
Phrases. Impress me with your phrase. Phrases.
Full as a fairy's phone book, for God's sake.
We People are often asking, what is the property for a great phrase? How do I get my phrase on the air, big dog? Well, I say usually it should follow a format. As useless as dry as, busier than a. These are great structures for phrases. They're clear, they're concise. Obviously, you want some cut through. Obviously, you want this to be available to recall in a situation that can get you out of a sticky social hierarchy. If you're getting teased or prodded upon in the pub and then you pull out a great phrase, like Jason's.
You're about as useless as a screen door in a submarine.
Well, all of a sudden, they're not picky on you anymore.
What a phrase!
That is the clubhouse leader. We will rank each phrase as they come through on 133353. Corey, you have a phrase?
Yeah, mate. When the strippers at a buck show leave and you're just left there, toey as a Roman sandal.
What a phrase!
Right, so he's provided some subtext with it. I mean, the second you mentioned strippers, I became a little bit hornier than I was prior to you announcing the strippers. So, yes, I am toey as a Roman sandal. Now, this sandal, why is this the specific sandal? Because it's a great phrase. Is it toeier than, say, your Havana or your Birkenstock? Is there more toe on a Roman sandal? More toe?
There never be enough toe on a Roman sandal.
No, great.
What a phrase!
What an abstract response. There can never be enough toe on a Roman sandal, but there is a bit of truth to it. Is it as good as full as a fat lady's sock? Probably not. Is it better than you couldn't knock the froth off a cappuccino? Absolutely.
What a phrase!
So I'm probably going to put it at number 17 tonight. Corey, Ben in New South Wales, good evening to you. What's the phrase?
That is as rare as rockin' or shit.
What a phrase!
I have heard of as rare as hen's teeth before. Without getting into the biology of a hen, I believe that hen don't grow too many teeth. There may be a documented case along the way, but I don't think that's as rare as a rocking horse shit as far as I can see. And I'm looking back through the archives, and I can't see any rocking horse shit documented anywhere because it's a wooden horse.
Yep, that is very rare.
So almost as rare as two-way dialogue during the phrase segment.
What a phrase!
I think that goes top 15 for sure. Is it better than lower than a snake sphincter? You wouldn't have thought so, but is this as good as funny as a fart in a spacesuit? Yeah, I think so. So it'll be number 13. Like I said, as rare as two-way dialogue in this segment.
What a phrase!
Dave in Belmont, what's the phrase?
Wetter than an otter's pocket.
What a phrase!
Right, now let's get into the otter's pockets for half a second. Is this an otter wearing a pair of slacks? Or is this an otter with almost like a pouch sort of thing to nestle their young? What pocket are we talking for the otter?
Yeah, I think the nestling the young one, but with a phone in it. And you don't want a wet phone.
Yeah, I was hoping so, that you'd say the otter's natural pocket, because I think that would be wetter than an otter just wearing some slacks, even if he was water-soaked and dredged. That is very wet. I'm struggling to think of anything wetter than an otter's pocket. Is it as handy as an ashtray on a motorbike? You know what? I would have thought so. It's going number 6.
What a phrase.
Oh, thank you very much.
Hold there. Minor prize almost coming your way, unless Adam in Mitcham's got anything to do with it. Wrap this up. We've heard some great phrases tonight. What's yours, big dog?
Couldn't drive a greasy stick up a dead dog's bum.
Jesus Christ.
What a phrase.
Now, I'm going through it, and I'm just drawing a small diagram on my dossier here. I am drawing the deceased hound. It'll be a dachshund tonight. It'll be a dachshund, a deceased dachshund. And I'm now drawing the stick, and yep, the maths adds up. As long as it's small enough in diameter, it can go up the deceased Daxon's jacksy. The only qualm I've got with that is you'd probably be saying, oh yeah, you're quite useless, aren't you? You couldn't drive a greasy stick up a dead dog's bum. To which, very volatile, and they may be able to turn it back around on you. Go, well, I don't want to drive a greasy stick up a dead dog's bum. That's the only danger there, that you can then sink further into the social pit of despair. People go, oh God, you know, Adam over there, yeah, if he had the chance to grease up a stick, he'd put up a dead Daxon's bum, for goodness sake.
What a phrase!
that's the only sort of tetchy ground there. But I think if you said it with enough confidence, you could probably bamboozle them and then just quickly exit outside of the pub, leaving them bemused. Great power play. Is it better than sweating like a gypsy with a mortgage? Probably not. Is it better than going off like a dead cat in an auto? Yeah, I think that's probably better. Dead dog stick bum, better than the dead cat Otto. So it's number 14.
What a phrase.
Beautiful.
Well done to you. You won't take home the chocolates, but you have fulfilled your dream of saying couldn't drive a greasy stick up a dead dog's bum on live national radio.
It's time for movies that are completely different if you add just one word to the title. Cricket, pitch perfect.
First day of the MCG test between Australia and India, and the wicket is in fine condition. Hats off to the groundsman. He's done an amazing job. It's hard to decide what to choose if you win the toss, to bat or to bowl. There's no wrong decision today.
Can't get hard.
Oh, sorry.
Is it me?
No. Just give me some time.
Shall I get some lube?
You might just end up with sticky mash then, to be honest.
Finding Dory. Fillet.
Fresh fish, fresh fish. Get your fresh fish. Hi there, sir.
No, mate. You have any Dory fillets?
No Dory fillets, but we have some lovely barramundi caught today, some really fresh salmon steaks, a whole heap of cod as well. Cheapest in the market.
I might have a look somewhere else. Thanks, mate.
Okay, suit yourself. Fresh fish, fresh fish.
In cinema soon.
Bit of royal news, bit of royal goss. TikTok just found out Queen Elizabeth banged a distant cousin.
Yes, Queen. Yes, Queen. Yes, Queen.
No, Queen. A lot of royals in history have kept things between themselves, and Queen Elizabeth is no exception to the rule. Both Prince Philip and Queen Elizabeth share a great-great-grandmother in Queen Victoria and a great-great-grandfather in Prince Albert. Looking at the family tree, which users on TikTok have started to call the family wreath. Yeah, it does look a little wreathy. A few too many branches in this tree for me. A few too many vines wrapping around each other now. Makes it look all that much worse. Technically, they are fourth cousins, which to me, I think, is still in the dangerous part of cousinage. I prefer a fifth cousin onwards sort of situation, if I can help it. These things happen all too often, especially in royal circles. And I don't want to cast any dispersions, but I would keep Archie away from Princess Charlotte just to make sure that this stuff doesn't happen in the future. It seems like they're rid of their cousin-y past. Hopefully this is the last time that it gets anywhere near. They're not the first cousins to hook up. Who could forget the Chase's The Beast, Mark Labette?
Born in 1924, which singer is known as the French Frank Sinatra?
Charles Aznavour?
Correct.
Yeah, he hooked up with his second cousin. They, I can't remember if they had a kid or not, but they were in a pretty hectic relationship for a while, and then she left him for a younger stud, leaving the Beast very upset. That was a second cousin sort of situation. Einstein, he married his first cousin. Fun fact. How about a kiss for your cousin to pray? No thanks. How about a kiss for your cousin to pray? No thanks. Rudy Giuliani, funnily enough, second cousin relationship. Regina Peruggi and Rudy Giuliani, one of the great Italian second cousin setups. Ugh, gross on so many levels. Mostly just Rudy Giuliani and his sweaty, spa-ridden face. Charles Darwin, first cousin. First cousin relationship for Charles Darwin. How about a kiss for your cousin Dupree? No thanks, Dupree. Ease off. Thomas Jefferson, third cousin. He's been hooking up with his third cousin. So some of the greats are getting involved with their cousins. We got a message on the Danny Lakey Show Insta. Someone said Greta Scacchi. Apologies if that's not an exact surname, but Greta Scacchi, famously known for films like Looking for Alibrandi, was in a relationship with her first cousin, Mantegazza. Oh, yeah, a bit more Italian stuff. Mantegazza, they've got a 12-year-old together. Aussie-Italian actress and Mantegazza. More than a decade on, Greta says she still can't believe some people to continue to react negatively to the fact that she and Mantegazza have a 12-year-old child together. Yeah, it's time to change. We're the ones with the problem. 133353, is your family tree a little bit branchy? Or do you know about a family tree that's a little bit branchy? There'll be no judgment tonight. If you want to remain anonymous, no doubt we can do that. We can blur your voice as well. I don't want any prank calls. I don't. I'll see right through if you go, yeah, bro, hooked up with me cousin. She's hot as. I love her. Yeah, great.
Yes, queen.
No, queen. Maybe like a second cousin story or like something you heard on the grapevine. Is your family tree a little branchy? Kevin Bacon, ninth cousin. To which I say, play ball. Go for it, Baconator. Once you pass the fourth cousin to fifth cousin threshold, I don't think there's anything to sweat about anymore. I reckon there'll be some people out there judging right now in relationship going, ooh, disgusting. I challenge you to do a DNA ancestry test and see if they're not your 10th cousin. 133353 Ian in Melbourne. G'day, g'day.
Hey, mate, how you doing?
Good. Your family tree is just a little branchy?
A little branchy. They're Dutchies, yeah?
Okay.
Dutchies, so.
Sure.
But, three van somethings, married three van other somethings. So three from one family, sisters, married three brothers from another family, essentially.
Okay. It is a bit weird. It's
but it was old. It was old times.
Oh, of course. Old Dutch times. Who would I be to judge?
You could only ride your bike so far, yeah?
You can only ride your bike. There's only so many people down at the canal that you can say hi to.
Exactly.
Fair deuce. Yeah, you've got to be careful of the Van Winkles and the Dutches. Producer Mick, you've got a story about a little too close to home. You hooking up with your cousin?
A little too close to home. Mm. So on my mum's side, her auntie and uncle were first cousins, and then they had kids.
Oh, no.
That's their cousins as well.
Oh, dearie me. How about a kiss for your cousin to print? Yes, please, apparently. How about a kiss for your cousin to print? Yes, please, apparently. Are you affected by this at all? Do you have...
I mean, I'm fine.
Okay.
Like physically and mentally.
Yeah. All right. Let's just get a DNA test for producer Mick. Maybe a couple of long strands in there. Tabitha in Melbourne, your family tree's a little branchy.
Oh, look, my family screwed up, but we don't do each other. This is someone I know.
Thank God.
Yeah. Just saying. Not that there's anything wrong with that, Danny, but, you know.
I would like to present a case that there is something a little wrong with it, depending on. I've already expressed my views of the fourth cousin, fifth cousin barrier. But anyway, what is the story?
I just don't want to upset anyone.
Well,
this chick I know, her mum married this guy and he had children. They all grew up as brothers and sisters and the mum and this gentleman had children together. So they were a real tight family.
Okay.
And then my friend married her stepbrother.
Oh. Oh, dear.
Yes.
And I know you said the family was tight, but I didn't want it to be that tight.
Yeah, too tight for me.
Too far for me also. Cal, I second that. Are they still all hanging out at Christmas? What was the fallout
from that?
They've
got children. They've married, got children. They're so happy. It just makes me want to vomit in my own house.
Yeah. And are the children all right? Like, could you tell?
Look, I haven't checked them out closely enough. They could have webbed toes, but I'm not exactly sure.
Webbed toes, yeah, always a classic follow-on effect from the inbred DNA. I mean, no two heads, but the webbed toes, yeah, something to look out for. And if you do have webbed toes, probably something to look out for and go get an ancestry DNA test, just to be sure. Nothing against our fast swimmers out there. Daddy Likey. Triple M.